Welcome to episode 369 of the 10-10 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 10-10 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the promise of a Messiah is clearly given. These messianic prophecies were made hundreds, sometimes thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. And clearly, Jesus is the only person who has ever walked this earth to fulfill them. In fact, from Genesis to Malachi, there are over 300 specific prophecies detailing the coming of this anointed one. In addition to prophecies detailing his virgin birth, his birth in Bethlehem, his birth from the tribe of Judah, his lineage from King David, his sinless life, and his atoning work for the sins of his people, the death and resurrection of the Jewish Messiah was likewise well documented in the Hebrew prophetic scriptures long before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred in history. Of the best known prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures concerning the death of the Messiah, two in particular stand out. Let's start with Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the works of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Jesus deliberately chose these words to describe his agony on the cross. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had known great pain and suffering, both physical and emotional, during his life. Yet he had never known separation or alienation from God, his Father. At this moment, he experienced what he had not yet ever experienced. There was a significant sense in which Jesus rightly felt forsaken by God the Father on the cross. Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Compare this with John 20, verse 25. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas, in telling his fellow disciples what it will take for him to believe that Jesus has truly been resurrected, makes reference to the fact of his crucifixion and also to the piercing of his side by a Roman soldier checking to see if Jesus was dead. Crucifixion was used extensively by the Persians, Romans, Carthaginians, and Macedonians. The practice comes onto the scene prominently beginning in the 6th century BC. So it was around long before Rome, but it was not known as a practice at the time that David writes this psalm. Psalm 22, verse 17. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. A person's legs were usually broken after being crucified to speed up their death. But according to the prophecy, the Messiah's legs were not to be broken. John 19, verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Psalm 22, verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27, verse 35. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. And so we see in Psalm 22 a number of allusions to the death of the Messiah, allusions that are fulfilled in the life of Christ. Isaiah 53, the classic messianic prophecy known as the suffering servant prophecy, also details the death of the Messiah for the sins of his people. More than 700 years before Jesus was ever born, Isaiah provides details of his life and death. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. We see that Jesus was rejected even by the people who knew him best in his hometown. Luke 4, verses 28 to 29, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. This was after Jesus had read prophecy in the synagogue affirming that he was the Messiah. And here are the people with whom he grew up rejecting him to the point that they wanted to kill him. And then we see Jesus lamenting his rejection in Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Isaiah 53, verses 5 to 9. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Paul points out how Jesus was killed as a vicarious sacrifice for the sins of his people. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Peter confirms that Jesus was silent before his accusers. 1 Peter 2, verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And Matthew records that Jesus was buried in a rich man's tomb. Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, namely Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. In Mark 15, verse 27, we read that Jesus was crucified along with transgressors, and with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. In addition to the death of the Jewish Messiah, his resurrection from the dead is also foretold. The clearest and best known of the resurrection prophecies is the one penned by David in Psalm 16, verse 10, also written a millennium before the birth of Jesus. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Every aspect of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah had been prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures long before the events ever unfolded in the timeline of human history. No wonder that Jesus the Messiah would say to the Jewish religious leaders of his day, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Father, thank you for the gift of the Scriptures. Thank you that whether we look in the Old Testament or the New, we learn more about Jesus and the plan of salvation. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.